Translation. O greatly fortunate Sukadev Goswami, please continue narrating Srimad Bhagavatam so that I can place my mind upon the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being completely freed from material qualities, thus relinquish this body. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. To be fully engaged in hearing the transcendental narration described in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam means to constantly associate with the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. And to constantly associate with the Supreme Lord Krishna means to be liberated from qualities of matter. Lord Krishna is like the sun, and material contamination is like darkness. As the presence of the sun dissipates darkness, constant engagement in the association of the Lord Krishna frees one from the contamination of material qualities. Contamination by the material qualities is the cause of repeated birth and death, and liberation from material qualities is transcendence. Maharaj Parikshit was now a realized soul by this secret of liberation. Through the grace of Sukadev Goswami, for the latter had informed the king that the highest perfection of life is to be in remembrance of Narayan at the end of life. Maharaj Parikshit was destined to give up his body at the end of 7 days, and thus he decided to continue remembering the Lord by the association of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, and thus to quit his body in full consciousness of the presence of the Lord Krishna, the Supreme Soul. The hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam performed by professional men is different from the transcendental hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit was a soul realized in the absolute truth, Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. The fruitive materialistic is not a realized soul. He wants to derive some material benefit from his so-called hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Undoubtedly, such an audience hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from professional men can derive some benefit as they desire, but that does not mean that such a pretense of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam for a week is as good as the hearing of Maharaj Parikshit. It is the duty of a sane man to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a self-realized soul and not be duped by professional men. One should continue such hearing till the end of one's life, so that one can actually have the transcendental association of the Lord and thus be liberated simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Maharaj Parikshit had already given up all his connections with his kingdom and family, the most attractive features of materialism, but still he was conscious of his material body. He wanted to be free from such bondage, also by the constant association of the Lord. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunavitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savabhutanam Parijan Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Krishna Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanabhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasagora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Dear devotees, Hare Krishna and very good morning to you all. Please accept my humble obeisances and I sincerely request your blessings that somehow or another today I can share something that is pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, the Parampara, and you as devotees. And everything shared today is really for my own purification from material contamination. So I'm just going to repeat the translation. O greatly fortunate Sukadev Goswami, please continue narrating so that I can place my mind on the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Soul, Lord Krishna, and being freed completely from material qualities, thus relinquish this body. So Maharaj Parikshit is, he's very determined. And he starts by glorifying Sukadev Goswami. And we know that when we are reading Bhagavatam right at the beginning, there is some exchange between the speaker and the listener. And that is that the speaker has great gratitude to the audience because here's an opportunity to be able to share the opportunity to glorify the Lord. And to be able to glorify the Lord means that I'm not associating or in material contamination. I've got I or others have the opportunity to be able to thank you for putting the light on. It's like that, isn't it? Because today the analogy is the Lord is like the sun, and when the light comes on, it dissipates darkness. So thank you. So there's some exchange. And of course, Maharaj Parikshit he's the ideal candidate for listening to Srimad Bhagavatam because it requires us to listen with rapt attention. And so Maharaj Parikshit has rapt attention, he's really focused, and he's asking Sukadev Goswami in the nicest way, you're so fortunate. And why does he say you're so fortunate? You're so fortunate because you have direct perception, realization. And we know that Sukadev Goswami, he's the, you know, the emblem of the sweetness of, when a devotee who is realized touches or speaks about the Bhagavatam, it becomes extremely sweet and nectarian. So he's asking him, look, please do that so I can really now focus my mind on the Lord and then be free from material qualities and thus relinquish this body. He doesn't say my body, this body. Because he realizes this body is a yantra. And for all of us, we operate on a day-to-day basis. thinking, I'm this body, I'm a woman, you know, I'm decorating my body with a pink sari, I have this role, I'm very important, I've got this service, I've got that. And it, everything, so as soon as we have a body, we're identifying with the false ego, because the false ego entrenches, the body entrenches us into a very limited state of perception and understanding and awareness. So when Maharaj Parikshit asks this question, what can we really learn from this? Maharaj Parikshit wants to focus his mind and intelligence on the Supreme Lord. We know that the reason why he's asking that, and we have to go back to chapter 6, is that he wants to know more about this conversation that Narada Muni had with Lord Brahma. And that was Lord Brahma's instructions to Narada Muni that, you know, if Lord Brahma tells Narada Muni that, if you recall, Narada Muni approaches Lord Brahma thinking he is the Supreme. And then Lord Brahma reveals to him, actually, I'm not the Supreme. In fact, I thought I was the only one. And of course, he rocks up to see the Lord and says, oh, please, you know, told the gatekeepers, please tell the Lord I'm here. And so the Lord replies, which Brahma? And of course, it's extremely confusing to Brahma because he thinks I'm just the only one. And then the Lord invites all the other Brahmas from all the different universes, times, dimensions, realities, or millions of universes, and they all appear. And at that point, Brahma is deeply humbled because he realizes that even though he's not been able to create the universe alone, he's had support and understanding and the revelation through the heart. He begins to understand that actually the Supreme Lord is so inconceivable. So Brahma instructs Narada and says to Narada, look, to actually try and understand the Lord is absolutely inconceivable. And if you've tried to read the Bhagavatam and you've tried to read creation and you've tried to hear it from other devotees, one thing that really happens is, certainly from my experience, is you become absolutely exasperated because you try to understand it with your, well, with my feeble mind. And it's so incomprehensible that in the end, and I'm sure this is the point, that you just give up and understand that actually I'm not going to be able to understand creation and all the technicalities and all the different universes and all the different manus and all the different times and all the different dimensions and all the... even the multiple realities, because my mind, my sense, my sense perception isn't going to be able to perceive it all. So we realize that the person behind all this must be absolutely, supremely, also incomprehensible, which is the Supreme Lord. So what's the best way to try and understand the Lord? Is it through, you know, the material creation, the Virat Purush, you know. But when we try to understand the Lord in that way, it's very impersonal. But one thing we do understand is the Lord is in everything and he emanates from everything and is in every atom. So we understand that the Lord is part of everything, yet he's removed. Then we try to understand, well, the Supreme Lord is within my heart. Let me connect with the Lord within my heart. Because he is the Chaitanya Guru, he reveals, he directs. But even that can fail us, ladies and gentlemen, because the Lord is actually a person. And one way we can actually understand how he is, who he is, not even understand, but appreciate. I think the better word is to be able to appreciate the Lord and his qualities and his pastimes, is to be able to understand why the Lord is here, why the material world is created, why the spiritual world is created, why does the Lord, you know, the Lord's different yuga avatars. So then we begin to understand, oh right, I'm beginning to understand why I'm here in this material world, and is this a congruent place, and why is it that the Lord, and how is it the Lord is always reaching out to me, trying to bring the soul back to him, yet I can't see and I can't feel, and I'm disconnected, and I'm not able to, I feel lonely. So when we understand the nature of the disease of the human nature, that actually the sleeping soul, you know, we're lying on the witch of Maya, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we begin to understand that actually the more we associate with devotees and we discuss the pastimes, everything else is dangerous. Because the material world, even though we've got the last leg of religion, which is truthfulness, we can see that the material world, more and more, day in, day out, there is spin, there is mistruth. It's almost like a humanitarian crisis, actually. That are we able to really perceive what we think is the truth? So, Maharaj Parikshit is, this chapter is all about questions. Maharaj Parikshit is really like focused now. He wants to know even more. And his questions are like, how did Narada Muni explain the transcendental qualities of the Lord? Because he wants to know, we follow the path of Narada Muni, which is that Narada Muni, the transcendental spaceman who goes through all different planets and universes, he's constantly glorifying the Lord. His motive is to alleviate the suffering of others, glorify the Lord, the Lord's pastimes, paraphernalia, the Lord's associates, and to be enlivened and enliven others. So the next thing he says, well, who did he speak to? How do we acquire a body? Do we acquire it accidentally? Or is there some other cause? Why is he asking about the body? Because that's the one thing he realizes, he's detached from his kingdom, his family. But one thing Srila Prabhupada said in the purport is that he still hadn't given up quite the body consciousness. So he's now asking about, the different types of body, the spirit body. What's the difference between the spirit and the body, and why is it untouched? What's the difference between the body of the Lord and the common living entity? And he goes on with all these questions. So, why is he absorbed? Why is he so absorbed? What's Maharaj Parikshit's character and quality that we can learn from, that we can be inspired by? Well, we know in the background that, Maharaj Parikshit was already a realized soul, as Prabhupada tells us. He's, the whole reason why he ended up there was, of course, the curse. We also know that his punishment wasn't proportionate to the act. And that's what happens sometimes in the material world, ladies and gentlemen. Devotees will experience hardship, difficulties, and the suffering that comes isn't actually proportionate. But Maharaj Parikshit had the ability to counteract the curse, but he didn't. Instead, he saw that as the Lord's blessings. And that's the difference between a devotee and someone who's still contaminated by material nature. The devotee sees this as the ultimate mercy of the Lord, that something good will come out. They have so much faith that something good will come out of this. They have trust. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, can I say something to you all? That having a spiritual life, sometimes we're very gullible and naive. We think we won't have suffering. We won't have difficulties. We won't experience challenges. We won't encounter rocky paths, but we will. And we see that in the example in the Bhagavatam, we see that in the example of great devotees. But you know the difference is, when you're Krishna conscious, you can tolerate it better and you can also overcome it, knowing that whatever Krishna is sanctioning is because it's allowing you to surrender more and more and more to the Lord. And to actually, you know, any little complacency is taken out, it's taken away. Recently, I went on a yatra with some of the devotees from the manor, and the theme or the meditation, which was extremely inspiring, was look back with gratitude. Inside, look, connect to the Lord. Outside, see the devotees. And in the future, go with trust. And so this is what Maharaj Parikshit is doing. He's absolutely in trust. And he's not just thinking about himself and the body that he wants to, renounce from. He asks questions that are lokitam. That means that they're beneficial to everyone. When we're in a difficult situation, how do we act? Do we act like the victim? Or do we think, okay, what can I do? And how can I overcome this? And it's beneficial to others. So this chapter is full of questions, and they're not naive questions, neither are they sentimental. They're determined, you know, Maharaj Parikshit is determined to be freed from material qualities and hence relinquish his body. Srila Prabhupada says that to be fully engaged in hearing the transcendental narration described in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam means to constantly associate with the Supreme Lord. So Srila Prabhupada said, there's a secret, isn't there? There's a secret to overcoming the onslaught of material suffering, and that is by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. That Srimad, by hearing of the Lord, it is non-different from associating with the Lord. So one can say, well, I don't really understand that, but can I just say something, that the Bhagavatam, when we look at it, looks like a book, and it's got words like any other words in a newspaper or wherever. But because we're not able to see it and perceive it directly, but the Bhagavatam, because it's non-different to the Lord, we have to trust that it has a transcendental quality. And it's the only way to associate with the Lord in this mad world. So Maharaj Parikshit is determined to associate with the Lord and his devotee. When we're going through difficult times, that's the time to pick up the Bhagavad Gita. That's the time to start reading the Bhagavatam. And that's the time to start associating with devotees when they're only talking about the Lord. There's a danger, ladies and gentlemen, having been around for nearly 50 years, and I've coasted for many of those years, is that if we divert and digress with material nature, we will find opportunities to criticize, we'll find things that are wrong, we will feel hard done by. We will think sometimes, well, hanging out with devotees, you know, I can go outside and people are so well-mannered, so much more delightful to associate with. But actually, the reality is that the problem is within us. That unless we're associating and unless we're being the association we're looking for, then we become full of anathas and criticizing and not understanding, and so that's the nature of material life. So what are the qualities of matter? Why is it contaminated? Well, the qualities of matter are birth, old age, disease, and death. They're temporary. The results are always deterioration and destruction. So the universal form has the Paramatma, but then it has the mind, the intelligence, the false ego, the senses, the elements, three modes of material nature. So when we are reading Bhagavatam, we're also connecting to the Lord within the heart, and that's when the transformation begins to happen within the heart. Now, if we're not connected to the Lord and we're not speaking about the Lord and we're not glorifying the Lord, and in our day-to-day life, if we're not seeing the Lord's hand in everything, then we will be helplessly a victim, and we'll be acting under the modes of material nature. So when we're associating with the three modes of material nature, we're disconnected from the Lord. We're not connected to the Lord. Unless we're talking about the Lord, we're thinking about the Lord, we're relating everything to the Lord, then we are disconnected. And when we are disconnected with the Lord, then we're disconnected in the heart. So we will feel lonely. We will feel disengaged. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Gaur Nitai, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai. And so when we're disconnected, then we're of course in the cycle of samsara, going round and round in circles. And often we try to solve our material problems with material solutions. You know, try this, put this into place. Or we criticize, or we think we've got a better solution, or we think we know better. But no amount of material problems can be resolved with material solutions. And Srila Prabhupada gives us a great example when, we need a car. All right, we need a car. Let's build a road. So let's dig up Mother Earth. Let's disturb all the living entities, the forest, the trees. And then we've got more cars. And then, oh, we need more cars, actually. Oh, right, let's dig more. Oh, we need more fuel. Oh, so let's dig into Mother Earth. And the more we extract the fuel, the oil, the crude oil, then we imbalance Mother Earth's axis. And what happens with the axis when it's disturbed? We know that in the pastimes of Lord Varaha, Mother Earth falls straight into the deep, dark ocean. So how does it relate to us, ladies and gentlemen, this disconnection? If we're operating in, of course, with the modes are always fighting for supremacy. So when I'm sharing this with you, I'm not saying, oh, a person in mode of ignorance is like this, a person in mode of passion is like this, or goodness. But what I'm trying to say to you is that when we have an awareness and an understanding of the conflict that goes on even within our heart, then we can see how the disconnection manifests. So when we're in the mode of ignorance, all of a sudden life becomes very miserable. It becomes destructive. We become destructive. We see everything destructive around us. And what's our consciousness like? Well, it's not Krishna consciousness, is it? It's around guilt and shame and humiliation. And we'll humiliate others and we'll put them into shame. And if we don't do it to others, we do it to ourselves. Grief, fear, doubt, all of these things will come. And so when we're disconnected to the Lord, then we'll almost condemn the Lord. And a person like that needs praise, otherwise they deteriorate. You know, I need to be approved of. You know, I need to be valued. And actually, we should notice that, but we should never, ever forsake our duty of valuing devotees. valuing others. But my point is that it's looking at the disease of our own mind, but it doesn't mean that we fail, because we can see that the whole exchange of the devotees when they're speaking and hearing is this deep appreciation and gratitude and appreciation, and it's vocalized. And we can give up our envy by appreciating devotees. When we're having challenges with devotees or others, then we change our perception very quickly by seeing what's good about them rather than what's bad. I know straight away I'm one of these people, you know, particularly my work, I've always got to look at the risks. I've always got to risk assess. So your mind just naturally goes to, okay, what are the issues? But actually we've got to balance that and look at what's great about. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 14, it'll say that, you know, if we're, well, actually the example of somebody like that was Hiranyakashipu. He really resented chastisement, and his brother was chastised. Now the thing about Hiranyakashipu is he was very eloquent. He knew the scriptures. He could churn them off. But he wanted to take revenge against the Lord. And sometimes we take, not just when we take revenge against others, we're also taking revenge against the Lord, because the Lord, who's also sitting within the heart of everyone. So in Bhagavad Gita says, anyone who is in that mode of ignorance, where it becomes very prominent at the time of death, goes to the animal kingdom. If we disconnect in the mode of passion, we'll, obviously we're all inflicted by desires, lust, anger and greed. But there's great attachment, there's intense endeavor. And one, again in Bhagavad Gita, says one takes birth in the earthly planes and becomes engaged in fruitive activities. So how can we connect and disconnect with the Lord in goodness? You know, whilst goodness is harmonious, it's all accepting, but there's a danger of pride. And when pride comes in, it's very easy as a devotee, because if you're in the mode of goodness, all of a sudden you start noticing things that aren't quite great. So then what happens is you become critical. And some examples of this is when Maharaj Chitraketu rocks up in one of the abodes where Lord Shiva and Mother Parvati are there. And he thinks, well, you know what, Mother Parvati is sitting on Lord Shiva's lap. I think I need to say something, because it just won't look good, you know. And he takes this role, you know, like, I know better. Of course, he's cursed as the demon Ritasura. Now, being in the mode of goodness, one goes to the higher planets. But still, being good is not good enough. Guna netan atyatrin dehi deha samutvam janma mrityu jaradha dukyar vimukti mrityam asnute. So the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 14 verse 20 says, when an embodied being is able to transcend the three modes of material nature, he becomes free from birth, old age, disease and death. So we discussed that. How can we cross this bridge of contamination? Well, it's very simple, ladies and gentlemen, simple for the simple. Associate with the Lord and his devotees. Associate with Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, here, Srila Prabhupada is very specifically saying Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you don't, it's almost like if you know it, if you're a doctor and you know there's a contamination or there's a disease or something and you don't treat it, it's a criminal offense. So in terms of spirituality, it's a criminal offense even for us if we don't treat our, you know, the infection that we have, the contagion, the and that is to take shelter of Bhagavatam. So who, Srila Prabhupada says that, the king perfected his life in remembrance of Narayan. Who else remembered Narayan? Ajamil? Who else? Thank you. Does anybody know who else perfected their life in remembrance?
Arjuna.
Thank you. Thank you. So Arjuna, Ajamil, and Gajendra, actually. Gajendra calls out, Narayana Kila Guru, Narayana Kila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste. Now, Gajendra was Indrajumna Maharaj in his previous life, but because he recited prayers, that somehow or another the Lord awarded him remembrance, understanding in which to approach the Lord in his very, very difficult time. So, how do we know somebody who's self-realized? Because here it says you must listen from a self-realized person. I'm very ashamed to say, ladies and gentlemen, that many, many years ago, you know, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you think you're all happy and everyone's perfect and, you know, it's amazing. And then all of a sudden you start seeing faults and criticism. And I have, honestly, at times thought, that person is a speaker, not sure about them. I think I'll skip Bhagavatam. And when we have that mentality, that's the infection within our heart, because where Bhagavatam is being recited, there is something within us that that person is mirroring, and so we have to work on that. So one of the things we mustn't do, ladies and gentlemen, is misread this verse, misquote it, and misuse it by thinking, well, I can pick and choose. There are gifts in the Bhagavatam, and I'm conscious it's 25 past 8. But one of the things I wanted to share with you was that whilst associating with the Bhagavatam is the perfection of life, and that we can actually, it's the way forward in terms of being released from the clutches of material nature. Bhagavatam has so many prayers. And just like Indrajumna Maharaj, when he prayed, somehow whatever offenses he committed, he had the body of an animal, you know. And in that body of ignorance, the Lord, because of his previous life, awarded him remembrance. So, you know, we should read the Bhagavatam systematically, but there are also prayers in there that will inspire us. Prayers of Gajendra, Dhruva Maharaj, Kunti Devi. That was my mother's instructions as a child, that read the Bhagavad Gita and take shelter of Mother Kunti's prayers. And the prayers of the residents of Jambadweep, the prayers of the two Gandhavas who were cursed to become the trees. There are also, the Lord, when you're reading the Bhagavatam, the Lord reaches out to us and almost gives us gifts. So there are many, many benedictions and gifts. We shouldn't see them in a materialistic way, but we should see that the Lord is so compassionate and loving and kind that he's reaching out to us, wanting us to come to him. So, who is realized and who isn't? You know, that's a very tricky thing. Now, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Madhya Leela, chapter 16, verse 241, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs Raghunath Das. He's so anxious to join the Lord. Sometimes we're so anxious to advance. We're so anxious to get our initiation. We're so advanced. We're so keen to get our Brahmin initiation. We're so keen to do. And then we sometimes get frustrated. Well, here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that Raghunath Das should keep his Krishna consciousness firmly fixed within his heart while externally behaving like an ordinary man. So that's the thing, you know, we must try not to, when we see a devotee who looks very benign and ordinary, do not try to understand that with our blunt senses. I was going to share the prayers of Bhagavatam, but we've run out of time. So when you have time, particularly for the next few weeks. Please take shelter of the prayers by Sanatana Goswami in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And keep in your mind the Chaturshloki, because all the questions that Arjuna, that Maharaj Parikshit will be asking throughout this chapter, keep referring it to the Chaturshloki, that the Lord has always been here before, during, and after annihilation. Anything separate from the Lord is illusion, and that the Lord is the cause of all causes. And finally, that we should look for the Lord. So always keep that in your mind. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Yes, Mother.
These cursed demigods or others, they, when Krishna appears in front of them, Narayana, and liberates them, they go back to the heavenly planets. But how is this possible when they see Krishna in front of them and they can go in the heavenly planets instead of going back to
them? So the Lord is so kind that when we do offenses, and we must be doing innumerable anarthas and offenses, but the Lord never condemns them for life or forever, for eternity. The Lord always wants them back. Remember, they're also an instrument for somebody else's karma. So if we understand the verse, Krishna Vasudevaya Hare Pramatmane Pranata Kleshna Shaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. The Lord is residing in everyone's heart. It's very inconceivable to understand, but we must understand that the Lord is so compassionate, so kind, so forgiving, that even those who are inimical to the Lord, inimical to the devotees, the Lord wants them back as well, because everybody deserves to return back. Thank you, Mother. Is that all right? We'll stop here. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.